reading to you from the third chapter of the Gospel of John in the 36th verse. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Oh, friends, I wished you would have been with us, my wife and I, and the quartet in prison Sunday. There were 16 men and women came to Christ. I've never seen anything like it in all of my entire Christian life. I tell you, God is visiting prisons, and these young people are coming out new people. And I tell you, it's good to go to prison if you come out knowing Christ. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 49th Psalm, and I begin reading with the 6th verse. Even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever. Then he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. Friends, I've titled this, Breaking the Grip of the Grave. You know, one of the greatest deceptions ever happened started in the Garden of Eden. And you know, the Lord told Adam and Eve not to take of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Well, one day Eve was out there, and old Satan come down in a tree in the form of a snake. And he said, here, have some fruit. Oh, no, she said, I don't dare do that. Well, why? Well, because God said we would die. Oh, he said, that's a lie. You shall surely not die. In fact, the matter is, you're going to be just as wise as God. Well, that was the first big, terrible lie. And she did take of the fruit, as you know, and so did her husband. She gave it to him. And then, of course, you know, what happened? They were kicked forth out of the garden. Well, listen. Millions live as if this lie were true. They store up riches as if they would never leave them. Well, sin has brought the prospect of death to all of us, and I read in Hebrews 9:27, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Well, the grave awaits the rich and the poor. And funeral processions and cemeteries preach this message. We each have an appointment with the grave. Well, how do we prepare for that coming day? And dear friends, that is so important that we would know. We don't have to guess whether we're going to heaven. We can know. The Bible said in 1 John 5:13, this is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. I talked to so many people over the years who say, well, Cecil, I sure hope I'm going to heaven. I said, you don't know? Well, then I said, you're not going. When you are born again, then you will know that you're going to heaven. The Holy Spirit reveals to us that wonderful truth. Well, sin has brought the prospect of death upon all of us. And the grave awaits the rich and the poor. Listen. It's coming, everybody. Better be prepared for it. Well, we cannot prepare through increased education and 6 and 14. Even though those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches, no man by any means redeems his brother or give to God a ransom for him. Listen, wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish. Decrees cannot deliver us from death. There's a lot of people have DDs and all kinds of degrees about themselves. Learned people have been unable to find a way to escape life's common end. Eternal life cannot be gained by accumulation. Even the wisest have been unable to avoid the grip of the grave. You know, medical science comes up empty in its search for a pill to give eternal life. Miracle drugs work only for a season. And diseases have been conquered, but life still untimely ends. In spite of earthly honors, we all march steadily toward the grave. And remember, I said the other day, the minute you're born, you start to die. The very moment that you come into this world, you start to die. Well, the Bible gives us the solution. The Bible tells us what to do. He tells us how to be born again. And he shows us in his word that you don't have to worry once you trust the Lord. You just lean on him. Now, you know, there's a concept that after you become a Christian, you will never have any sickness. You'll never have any sorrows, never have any temptations or trials. Well, that's a lie out of hell. You know, you've seen these evangelists on TV and say, now you send a $1,000 seed offering to me, to my ministry, and I'll guarantee you, all your children will be saved. You'll have great wealth and all these things. Well, that's a lie out of hell. Satan has really got people. Well, you know why they do that. The ministries, the preachers make money. One of the famous healers in America today has built a $7 million home in California. Do you suppose that's of God? Friends, listen, why don't people wise up? Read the Bible. The Bible speaks a lot about these charlatans who are taking money from people and they're going to have to go to hell. They're going to have to end up in a grave. They can't take it with them. We cannot prepare through increased wealth. And again, verse 16, it says, do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Though while he lives, he congratulates himself, and though men praise you when you do well for yourself, he shall go to the generations of his father. They shall never see the light. Oh, friends, listen. Be not afraid when one is made rich. Expensive homes do not increase the length of life. Earthly honors and glory fade. They cannot prevent death. Wealth is worthless in the grave. We can't take wealth with us. Present pomp perishes with life's last breath. All must pass through the river of death naked. Not a rag of clothing, not a coin or a treasure, not a bit of honor can the dying person carry with him. Yeah, the grave levels the ground between the haves and have-nots. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? Well, the rich man shook off the crumbs and Lazarus would eat them and the dogs would lick away his sores. The Bible said one day they both died. Lazarus went to heaven, but the rich man, he went to hell. And then while he was woke up in hell, this rich man said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here to put his hand in cool water and put it on my tongue, for I am in pain in this terrible flame and fire. The Lord's kid, that can't happen, because those who pass from here to there can't pass from there, and vice versa. Let us not fret over those who gain earth's temporary trinkets. And I read in Psalms, where is this? I think I had the 31:7, yeah. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward the wrongdoers. Listen, we can only prepare for the grave through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only way we can do that. Verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Oh, friends, listen. It's not as complicated as people might think. You know, a guy told me the other day, he said, Cecil, I'm not religious. Well, I'm not talking about religious or religion. Friends, listen to me. Religion is man-made. Salvation is God-made. Let us not fret over those who gain earth's temporary trinkets. Think about that. We can only prepare for the grave through Christ Jesus. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Job knew his Redeemer would provide victory over the grave. Job 19:25. And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand, and his will stand on earth. Oh, hey, Job went through everything. He lost his family, lost his children, lost his animals. And all because the devil come to the Lord and said, you know what, the only reason that he serves you is because you made him a wealthy man. God knew Job's heart, and he knew that wasn't true. He said, all right. He said, give him a test. He said, I'll take away his family, I'll take away his money, his animals, his wealth. And he did, and then he come down with a bad case of boils. But Job would not curse God and die, even though Job's wife suggested that he should curse God and die. But he didn't do it, because he said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand on earth. Will he stand on earth? Well, Jesus demonstrated his power over the grave. Remember when he resurrected Lazarus? Oh, friends, listen. Mary and Martha, they were crying and weeping, and the people were crying. And they sent for Jesus, and he was a couple days late. Getting there, said, oh, if you'd only been here, he would live. And Jesus said, he's going to live. Well, Mary said, yeah, I know, in the resurrection. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, friends, listen. God knows your heart tonight. He knows my heart. He knows whether we want to go to heaven, or he knows whether we want to go to hell. And that is a question I ask you tonight. Do you want to go to heaven? Well, you say, well, any wise person would want to go to heaven. Well, then you have to come to him as a little child. A lot of people don't feel that they're sinners, including my wife. She did not believe she was a sinner. But after she got out of the gospel and started hearing it, then she realized that she was lost and that she was a sinner. Hey, friends, the Bible said we have all sinned. Romans 3:23. You've sinned. I have sinned. Your mother sinned. Your daddy sinned. My mom, my dad. We've all sinned. But one person, and that was Jesus. Now look at how could he go to the cross at Calvary, because he was the Son of God, but he came to take our sins and your sins upon him. He was made sin, though he was sinless. I tell you, friends, that blows my mind. It truly blows my mind. But he did. Well, they thought they'd conquered him. Oh, they thought they'd got rid of that guy, put him in a grave, and put a big old stone in front of it. 3 days he was gone. He arose Oh, friends, if you're a Christian, you should say, hallelujah, praise God, he sure did. And because he arose, those of us who trust him, repent of our sins, he will come into our heart, and he will give us eternal life, write our name in the Lamb Book of Life. All these things he has done for you and for me. The living Christ saves all who come to him, giving them eternal life. Hebrews 7:25. Hence, also, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. You see, he lives forever. He's not going to die now. He's not going to die now. He's up standing on the right hand of the Father right now. And I can just almost see him with outstretched arms. And you're listening tonight and you're not born again. And he's saying, come unto me, all you labor and a heavy laden. Maybe you've lived a life like I did, an alcoholic or a drug addict or a whoremonger or homosexual or lesbian. You're miserable. You're unhappy. And you think, is there anything that could be done about it? I used to think when I was drinking so bad, I used to think, oh, maybe tomorrow I'll wake up. Maybe tomorrow I'll wake up and this monkey will be off my back. Every day I was hoping that God would somehow take away that love for alcoholism. I didn't love alcoholism, but it was a way that I could escape, I thought, my sorrows and my heartaches and my discouragements. Friends, alcohol doesn't do that. If you're an alcoholic tonight, you're miserable. Many of you can't pay your rent. Many of you've lost your wives. You've lost your children. You have no respect for yourself. And you wonder, what is this all about? Well, I'm telling you tonight, God has the answer for you. He sure does. We should all be prepared for the day of death. And I read in Amos 4:12, therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet God, O Israel. Now, let me ask you, are you prepared to meet God tonight? You say, oh, Cecil, I don't think so. I don't go to church and I haven't been baptized. Hey, listen, beloved, it doesn't make a bit of difference if you never saw a church. Do you remember when those two hung on the cross beside Jesus? And this one thief cried out and said, if you be the Son of God, bring yourself down off that cross. You've saved others, save yourself. But the other thief said, man, we're here because we deserve to be here. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, from this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He never joined a church. He was never baptized. He never tithed. But he was saved right on that old cross next to Jesus. See, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but you have to be saved to go to heaven. You remember Nicodemus? I love that guy. He was a nice fella. He was successful. He was wealthy. And he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was a pretty high thing in court. And did you know what? One day, he'd heard other Christians talking about their relationship to God. He knew he didn't have that relationship. So he decided he'd look up Jesus himself. And he'd come over to Jesus one evening and he said, you know, you must be from God because no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, did he say anything in there about joining a church or about being baptized? You say, well, shouldn't you go to church? Sure, you should find a good Christ-honoring church. Sure, you should go to Sunday school. Sure, you should read your Bible daily and pray. Sure. But let me tell you what. You'll find life a lot easier. Now, you say, well, don't Christians have sicknesses? I do. I got sugar diabetes.
I've got arthritis so bad I have to use a little scooter to go to prison. I'm on oxygen. But you know what? He's my Savior, and He's my Lord. And I love Him. I love Him. I praise Him. I tell the world wherever I go about Jesus. The other day when we got out of prison to go to lunch, my wife and I went to this place and had lunch, and I don't even know how the conversation started, but I said something about, well, how's your life going today? And she said, my son is in prison. And God opened a door like you will not believe. We got to witness to her, and I went out in my van and got a book and gave it to her, and I gave her my movie. And I says, and she said, would you write my son a letter? I said, I certainly would. So I came home, and I got a book out, and I got some gospel tracts. And I wrote to that young 17-year-old boy and told him about my life, told him how I met Jesus, that he could have a life just like it if he'd trust the Lord. Now, and when, the last thing she said to my wife and I when we left the restaurant, thank you so much for the encouragement. Friends, when you tell someone about Jesus, it's encouragement. Unless you're just plain don't want to know the Lord. And you know what? That's another thing, folks. God don't make you trust Him. If you don't want to, if you want to go to hell, you can. He sure don't want you to. He sure doesn't. Well, we're not prepared to live until we're prepared to die. I ask you, are you prepared to escape the grip of the grave tonight? You see, Cecil, I've got a strange tugging at my heart. I just feel like I'm going to cry. Listen, if the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart right now, I want you to think about it. God said, if you'd call upon Him, He'd save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He says all those things. But you see, the decision... the decision's up to you. Not to your mom, not to your dad, not to your preacher. It's your decision. Do you want to trust Jesus? Do you want to go to heaven? All right, then bow your head with me, and I don't want you to pray this unless you mean it. Here's how it goes. Dear Lord, oh, I confess that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I'm so sorry for all the things I've done unto You and to my family. And Father, right now, I'm opening my heart and receiving You as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call, it's a long distance if you're out of state. Well, you just call collect and I'll accept the charge. Well, friends, listen. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Friends, I don't care where you go to church. I am only concerned where you spend eternity. I'm standing by my phone, 303-471-8534. Please give me a call. Don't put it off, because that tomorrow may never come.
Rise and be healed in the
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Boy, I tell you, I want you to pray for my health. I'm supposed to go to California for 2 weeks to a clinic, and they're going to try to get me off oxygen and try to help me with my diabetes. I appreciate your prayers, friends. I tell you, I do. And anybody who doesn't want prayer for is crazy. Well, listen, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.